Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Redwood Buster. That's where I saw him for the very first time. He was sitting on the bench of the otherwise deserted sidewalk and staring out into the road. The day was misty and the clouds in the distance looked gloomy and foreboding. His battered green raincoat and disheveled hair looked as though he'd spent countless nights without a roof over his head. I had decided to take a shortcut on my way home from the supermarket. It was my daughter Sophia's birthday, and I wanted to avoid traffic. The shortcut meant that I'd have to get off the highway and onto a derelict road, but I thought it would be worth it in the end. Boy, was I wrong. Before I continue telling the story, dear listener, I must tell you that I am definitely aware of the dangers typically associated with picking up hitchhikers. I've heard my fair share of horror stories involving strange incantations, violent outbursts, and vomit on car seats. However, I also consider myself to be a fairly good judge of character. Or, at least I did. But the road in question was surrounded on each side by thick forest. There were no other cars aside from mine, and no buses ever came through here, despite there being a bus stop. The man didn't even raise his head at the sound of my approaching car, so I figured he was just minding his own business. After all, the forest was well known for its trails. However, as I got closer, he suddenly shifted in his seat and raised his thumb. Startled, I hit the brakes violently and grit my teeth as my car came to a halt. I hadn't really intended to stop, but it felt rude to keep driving now. I could see the man staring at me through the window, his thumb still in the air. I figured he was probably waiting for me to give him some sort of sign, so I mouthed okay and leaned over to open the passenger door. Now, I know what you're thinking. A hitchhiker on a derelict road already sounds like trouble, but he didn't really look dangerous. Sure, he was unkempt and scruffy, and granted, if it had been my wife in the driver's seat, I would have insisted she keep driving. However, I'm in pretty good shape, and I figured I could take him if he tried anything. I watched as he got up from the bench slowly and approached my car. Hello. I held out my hands to him as he sat down in the passenger seat. What's your name? Jerry. He didn't acknowledge my hands or even so much as look at me. Where are we going, Jerry? He was silent for a moment. Home to my wife and kids. I chewed the inside of my cheek, wondering if perhaps I had made a mistake inviting him into my car. Do you know the address? He shook his head, and I couldn't help feeling a bit sorry for him. Perhaps he was suffering from early-onset dementia, or maybe he didn't even have a family to begin with. However, I didn't really have time to spare, and his brief answers, or lack thereof, were getting on my nerves. All right then, could you show me where to go? To my surprise, he nodded and pointed straight. We drove in silence as he directed me along several streets. I felt relieved as I realized I wasn't really going off course. Wherever he lived, it seems to be pretty close to my place. We're neighbors, I exclaimed as he indicated a right turn with his hand. This is my street. He hadn't said a single word since we started driving and didn't look like he was about to start now. I kept giving him side glances, but he seemed totally fixated on the road. So, which one's yours? I slowed down as we cruised along a row of colorful houses. He gestured to keep driving, so I did. Weird, I've never seen you around. He waved for me to stop. This is me, he said, pointing to a pale cream house. I followed his gaze, and my heart dropped. No, I swallowed. That's my house, Jerry. But Jerry was already getting out of the car.
Thanks,
he mumbled before slamming the passenger door shut.
Wait,
I protested, my pulse racing.
Where are you going?
But he didn't seem the slightest bit interested as he made his way up the stone steps leading to the front door.
What the hell?
I said to myself, turning the engine off. I couldn't really leave my car in the middle of the road, but I had absolutely no intention of parking it either. Jerry had just rung the doorbell when I shoved the car door open and sprinted up the steps.
Jerry, wait!
The front door flung open, and my wife, Emma, appeared in the doorway. She surveyed us for a moment and then wiped her hands on her apron.
Hi, hon,
she exclaimed.
Who's your friend?
I was out of breath by the time I reached them.
This is Jerry,
I gasped. Emma chuckled.
With a sense of humor, I see. Well, come on in.
We gathered in the hallway, and Jerry still hadn't said a single word.
So, did you two meet at the mall?
Emma asked. Jerry was silent. I picked him up at a bus stop, I said. Jerry and my wife exchanged glances.
Did you get candles for the cake, like I asked?
No, they were out of... I began, but Emma gave me a disapproving look.
I was actually asking my husband,
she said. I gaped at her, and then at Jerry, who was busy rummaging through his coat pocket.
I found them at Dale's, he said.
I stammered, leaning on the wall for support.
I'm sorry.
It's a store downtown, Emma explained. Are you not from around here?
I blinked at her.
Are you asking me?
Well, who else would I be asking?
She said with a giggle. My skin was prickling.
Can I, talk to you in the kitchen?
I asked. She glanced at Jerry, who gave a quick nod.
Sure.
I practically drug her to the kitchen and shut the door behind us.
Okay, what's going on?
I demanded.
I'm sorry, mister.
I stared at her.
Stop it, Emma. This isn't funny, I said.
She looked blank.
I'm Ian, your husband.
She chuckled.
My husband is Jerry, as far as I'm aware.
I seized her by the shoulders.
Please, stop. It's not funny.
Ian, I have no idea what you're talking about. Now, if you'll excuse me, it's my daughter's birthday, and I have to check on dinner.
My stomach lurched.
Emma, please, I said. What will Sophia think of this?
She froze.
How do you know her name?
Her tone was stern.
What? Because I'm her father. I know everything about her. I know she had a teddy bear named Jeremy when she was little. I know she hates Christmas carols, and I know she has a heart-shaped birthmark on her shoulder.
Emma's face flushed red. She dropped the oven mitt she was clutching and stormed past me into the hallway.
What is wrong with you?
I heard her exclaim.
He's a stranger.
Don't worry about it,
Jerry said quietly.
He'll be out of here soon enough.
What?
I entered the hallway.
What did you just say?
They both stared at me.
I just said,
Jerry cleared his throat,
that I'm going upstairs.
He followed through, trudging up each step slowly, and I knew he was listening in. I rushed over to my wife as soon as he...
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
He was out of sight.
Emma, listen. I don't know what's going on here, but if you had an affair, it's okay. I understand. I'll get rid of him. I promise. Just go to the kitchen and wait for me. Her expression changed.
How dare you?
She cried.
Jerry is my husband. Jerry is absolutely not your husband.
I laughed in her face. Why would a beautiful woman like yourself ever marry a sullen old man? I knew Jerry was hardly any older than I was, but I couldn't help myself. Besides, his disheveled look added at least 2 decades to his appearance. But Emma didn't seem to think so. I suggest you leave. Now, Ian. Her tone was strict. Before I call the police. I snorted.
I paid for this house, Emma. I'm not going anywhere.
I noticed Jerry reappear on the stairs.
Oh, yes, you are.
He said, rolling up his sleeves.
We don't want any trouble.
I gawked at my wife as Jerry came down to escort me through the front door.
Here's $50,
he said, as soon as we were out of earshot.
It's all I got, but it should be enough.
What? I felt blood draining from my face.
Enough for what?
For your troubles. Oh, and Ian, I don't bother calling the police.
He hesitated.
They won't be able to do much.
What's the... I started, but he shut the door in my face. I stared at my own front door with the growing fear of helplessness. I couldn't even begin to wrap my mind around what had happened. How could one wrong move have caused my whole perception of reality to go spiraling out of control? I wanted so badly for this to be a dream. I longed to wake up and tell Emma all about this crazy adventure, but as much as I willed myself to, I wouldn't wake. My arm was covered in pinch marks, and worst of all, my wife seemed to have absolutely no recollection of me or the 10 years we had spent together. I wanted to cry, but my tear ducts seemed to be paralyzed. My entire sense of being, the life I had worked so hard to build up for my family, had been reduced to this. A mere $50. This had to be a prank. A prank, a dream, a joke. Anything but reality. How could she not remember me, for God's sake? I had no idea what time it was, but the setting sun suggested it was getting quite late. I stood outside my own front lawn like a stray dog, unsure of what I was waiting for or what I was supposed to do. All I had to work with was the damn $50. Suddenly, the light came on in the dining room. The curtains weren't drawn, and I could see Emma entering the room from where I was standing. She was carrying several dishes and set them out on the table. Sophia ran in behind her, carrying a bottle of soda. I watched them with a growing feeling of despair. They sat down on either side of the table, and seconds later, a man joined them. I didn't even recognize him at first. He had shaved, trimmed his hair, and was wearing one of my best dress shirts. He leaned down to kiss my wife and ruffle Sophia's hair. She clung to him like a little monkey. Anger welled up inside of me. This son of a bitch was going to live in my house, bed my wife, and raise my daughter. Well, not on my watch. I walked over to the front door and tugged at the handle. To no avail. It was locked. This was a safe neighborhood, and my family had never locked the door during the day before. He was already enforcing his own rules. Well, no matter. I circled the house, found a large enough rock, and threw it with all my might at the kitchen window. It shattered, sending shards of glass flying everywhere. In retrospect, I'm not sure what I was thinking. I was so overwhelmed by the day's events that my mind was likely malfunctioning, causing me to make questionable decisions. I climbed in through the window and marched straight towards the dining room. However, Jerry was already waiting for me in the hallway.
"Don't come any closer,"
he said as soon as he saw me.
"This is my house, Jerry," I said. "You can't have my family."
I saw Sophia peeking at us from around the corner.
"Daddy, who is that?"
she whispered. Jerry turned to her and put his finger to his lips.
"I'll take care of it, sweetheart,"
Run back to your mother. I watched the interaction, dumbfounded. You have to go, Ian, Jeremy said sternly. I don't want my daughter seeing this. I couldn't control myself any longer. I charged at him with clenched fists, fully intending to kill him. My temples were throbbing, but my mind was quiet. All I could see was red. But before I could even reach him, before I could take my first swing, a loud bang pierced the air, and I collapsed to the floor. I'd always wondered what it was like getting shot. I wondered whether the pain was quick and searing or slow and stinging. It felt like nothing at first, especially considering I hadn't even seen him draw the gun. I didn't even know I'd been shot until I was lying face down on the ground in my own hallway. He had aimed for my foot. At least, that's where the pain was. I felt two steady hands on me as I was pulled up and seated against the wall. Now, Jerry said, listen to me, carefully. I stared at him. There was absolutely nothing else I could do. He was the one with the gun. I want you to leave my family alone. Do you hear? My foot was throbbing uncontrollably, but there wasn't as much blood as I'd expected. Do you hear? I nodded, licking my dry lips. Jerry brought me a glass of water from the kitchen. Let me help you, he said, pulling me upright. He helped me out the front door and sat me in the passenger seat of my car. Then he circled around and got in beside me. Keys, he demanded, holding out his pocket. I pulled them out of my pocket and placed them into his palms. The nearest hospital is 2 miles away, I whispered. Don't worry, Jeremy said. I know where I'm going. He didn't. As we drove across town, I realized we were going the completely opposite way. Perhaps we were headed to another hospital up north. I didn't have the energy to argue, so I left the decision-making up to him. Suddenly, he made a sharp turn, and I recognized the street where I had picked him up that same afternoon. Surely he wasn't planning to... We're here, he said, unbuckling his seatbelt. But he was already out the door, walking around the car. He opened the passenger door and helped me out. Why are we here? I demanded. He didn't seem to be listening. You got the money I gave you? I nodded. You'll be fine, he assured, leading me to the bus stop. He sat me down on the bench and seized me by the shoulders. Goodbye for now, Ian, he smirked. And thank you for the ride. Wait, I yelled after him, but he was already walking away. He turned the car around, and within a second, it was like he'd never even been there. The sun had long since set, and the street was enveloped by darkness. There were no street lights, and the forest on either side of the road whispered ominously. I couldn't walk. I had nothing to eat, and my clothes were not nearly warm enough to survive the night. Tears of desperation rolled down my cheeks and dripped onto my lap. I was doomed. Suddenly, I noticed bright lights in the distance. I watched them getting nearer, my heart filling with hope. I took a deep breath and stuck out my thumb.